Blog Talk Radio.
Gail?
Yes.
It just gave you the intro.
Hey, if you love the 80s like I did, because I graduated in 87, making my high school years bearable, and the music, if you remember anything about the 80s, then you most likely remember a funk band, the Jazz Band, with their biggest hit song, Let It Whip, which won the group a Grammy. Well, I'm going to kick it out old school with Let It Whip, so I'll whip up one of the former lead vocalists by the name of Jerry Bell right after this. Maybe I won't. Maybe I'm just going to come right back. We could do the song. I apologize for the little delay there. Let's get right to it. Let's not keep my guest waiting any longer, because he is a Grammy Award-winning songwriter who has two Grammy Award songs. He's also huge in the entertainment, and he also was a former lead singer for the Jazz Band, which was a huge, huge group in the 80s. They had a lot of hits, and as I said, Let It Rip was one of them. Now, also, he was blessed to be mentored by some of the most legendary artists like James Brown, Isaac Hayes, Marvin Gaye, and more. It's a distinct honor to welcome to Entertainment Now singer Jerry Bell. Jerry, thank you so much for joining me tonight. Are we still having difficulties? Hello?
Sorry about that. We're just a couple of minutes early, so we're not live yet. It's 5 minutes till. So, for one, I'm glad we got this time, because that Let It Whip song must have been uploaded on your platform, because it's not on this one. But his other song is here that I uploaded, Good Love.
What's the name of the girl?
His song, Good Love, is here.
Good Love. Okay, Good Love.
Yeah,
okay.
But I think Let It Whip, we must have uploaded it. You must have uploaded it to your other platform.
Yeah.
Let It Whip. Yeah. So what we'll do, when he calls in, I'll be able to edit all this out, and nobody can't hear what we're saying right now. We're on air, but we're not live like that.
My only concern is, and I, first of all, thank you very much, Pearl, because that was a nightmare, the last one. Honestly, it was a nightmare, and people were texting and listening. And I don't understand. I'm using the same stuff that I've used, and it was playing perfectly. And then all of a sudden, when it came airtime, nothing, nothing.
Right.
The link that you just
we're going to go over. We're going to go over into the queue stage, because that way I don't have to edit anything. Hold on.
Okay.
When I'm alone in my room, sometimes I stare at the wall, and in the back of my mind, I hear my conscience call, telling me I need a girl who's as sweet as a dove. For the first time in my life, I see I need love. There I was, giggling about the games that I had played with many hearts, and I'm not saying no names. Then the thought occurred, teardrops made my eyes burn, as I said to myself, look what you've done to her. I can feel it inside, I can't explain how it feels. All I know is that I'm never dishing up the raw deal, playing make-believe, pretending that I'm true. Holding in my laugh as I say that I love you, saying I'm more, kissing you on the ear, whispering I love you and I'll always be here. Although I often reminisce, I can't believe that I found a desire for true love floating around inside my soul, because my soul is cold. One half of me deserves to be this way till I'm old, but the other half needs affection and joy, and the warmth that is created by a girl and a boy. I need love.
So tell me how your tour is going.
Tour's doing good, you know what I'm saying? It's real successful, you know, we selling a lot of tickets. It's just, it's real hectic, you know what I'm saying? Interviews, girls calling me all the time.
Yo,
it's real crazy,
go, man.
Right, see what I mean?
My little girl today.
Oh,
all right. Listen, what I tell you about these rap guys, huh? Yeah, look, I'm not taking
anymore out of my hands. Romance, sheer delight, how sweet. I gotta find me a girl to make my life complete. You can scratch my back, we'll get cozy and huddle. I'll lay down my jacket so you can walk over a puddle. I give you a rope. rolls, pull out your chair before we eat. Kiss you on the cheek and say, ooh girl, you're so sweet. It's deja vu whenever I'm with you. I could go on forever telling you what I do. But where you at, you're neither here nor there. Swear I can't find you anywhere. Damn sure ain't in my closet or under my rug. This love search is really making me bug. And if you know who you are, why don't you make yourself seen? Take a chance with my love and you'll find out what I mean. Fantasies can run, but they can't hide. And when I find you, I'ma put all my love inside. I need love.
Yo, I ain't mean to hurt you, before, you know what I'm saying? It's just I live a hectic life. You know what I'm saying? If you come with me to Atlantic City, I'll make it up to you, though. You still love me or what?
I need love.
Cool.
See what I mean? I've changed. I'm no longer a playboy on the run. I need something that's stronger. Friendship, trust, honor, respect, admiration. This whole experience has been such a revelation. It's taught me love.
The Grammy Award-winning song Let It Rip by the group The Dazz Band was a monumental moment. And for the two-time Grammy Award winner and former lead vocalist of the group, he was blessed to be mentored by some of the most legendary artists like James Brown, Isaac Hayes, Marvin Gaye, and more. Good evening. Welcome to Entertainment Now with Gail Scott Key. I'm your host, and I thank you so much for joining me tonight. And the legendary singer that I'm talking about, joining me on the phone right now for the first time on my show, and it's a distinct honor, as I want to welcome Jerry Bell. Jerry, how are you this evening?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I am doing well. I'm doing very well. I'm very honored to have you on my show this evening. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Oh, it's an honor. Jerry, you have such rich history to really go back in time and take us back to the moment and the first steps, because we're going to turn the clock back, if you don't mind, so everybody who's been following you. Your song, singing, and passion has started back in the early 70s. You ran quite a stint with a famed group called The New Birth. Is that correct?
Yes, actually, even before that time, I was working with. I'm hearing such an echo.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not getting anything on my end. We do have all hands on deck, so hopefully we can alleviate that for you. How is that sounding? Let me just see. Is that sounding a little bit better for you, Jerry?
Let me see. Yeah, it's a little bit better.
All right. I do apologize. But you were saying it actually started before the 70s?
Yes, I was with, I had a group out of Miami called the Miami Ocean Liners.
Oh, nice.
And when I left that group, it became KC and the Sunshine Band.
Wow.
And then I ended up with New Birth.
So KC and the Sunshine Band, which is huge, and I remember everybody listening to that. And then, so you changed, and then you actually, because of your vocal range, this really is what was a niche for you, if you will. And you were invited to join the group by the founding members Tony Churchill, James Baker, and Austin Lander. Is that correct?
Yes.
So when you all got together and the music started gelling, was it very easy for all of you? I mean, here you're coming from KC and the Sunshine Band and coming now into the new group, the New Birth. And it must have been like a new birth because all of you trying to get in sync. Was that an easy process, Jerry?
Well, when I came into the group, they were already established.
Mm-hmm.
So the band consisted of 15 members. So I was just one of the vocals that came in.
Wow. So you're all doing tours, and you're opening up actually for Marvin Gaye. You're playing with other big names. So what was that like in the transition of being on the road and you know, having the essence? Because some great hits came out of that. Matter of fact, I know Good Love, which we're going to play actually towards the end, but you had a lot of hit songs, and of course you being one of the lead vocalists, did you even expect that everything was going to rise to the top so easily?
It wasn't easy for sure.
What was it like?
It was hard. It was difficult. I mean, the music industry was a lot different than now. We did more performing than we did recording.
Right.
But it was a beautiful time.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Though.
Were there some distinct moments within that time, Jerry, that stood out for you? And if so, what were they?
Well, to go back a little further, even before Casey and the Sunshine Band, I come from a very very tight musical family. For those people who are familiar with the 60s music, my oldest brother's name is Archie Bell, and he had a group called Archie Bell on the Drums. They had a lot of hit records. And then prior to that.
Yeah.
Hello?
Is that a little bit better? We're trying to work up the echo. Is there any echo that you're still hearing?
Not now. Can you hear me?
Good. I can hear you
okay. Perfectly
in crystal. I apologize.
That's right. Now I feel a lot better. Okay, yeah. So
great.
my oldest brother, his name is Archie Bell, and he had a group called Archie Bell and the Drells. And they had a lot of hit records. One was called Tighten Up. Another was called Showdown, I Can't Stop Dancing. And then I came out of the – I'm originally from Philadelphia, so I came out of the Gamblin' Huff stable. And we had a company out of Philly called Philadelphia International Records, Gamble, Huff, and Bell. So it was Kenny Gamble, Leon Huff, and Tom Bell, Tommy Bell being one of my cousins. And Tommy was basically the top arranger for Philly International. He did a lot of the arrangements and writing for the Stylistics, the Delphonics, Blue Magic, Major Harris, the OJs, Harold Melvin, and the Blue Notes. And then I was a part of a writing team, and that writing team was McFadden and Whitehead and Kostoffin. So people are familiar with McFadden and Whitehead based on the record Ain't No Stopping Us Now. But very distinguished writers for Philly International who they wrote Backstabbers, For the Love of Money, for the OJs, and If You Don't Know Me By Now, for Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes, a lot of the hits that came out of Philly. And so we had a writing team. We did an album called Ship Ahoy for the OJs, and a lot of writing for the Blue Notes. We did the Destiny album out of Philly International on the Jacksons. And then we were writing a lot for Gladys Knight and, you know, different entities of that nature. And so we went from that to the New Birth, and then from the New Birth I ended up as a solo artist on Universal in 1980 to 1981, and then I was with the Dazz Band In and Out, and then 1985, 86, we were in the process of signing with Geffen. The contract that we had with Motown was running out, and so we ended up with Geffen Records. And we did one album on the Geffen label, and then we parted not in the good, in the best of ways, as most groups do. And
right.
I didn't get back with the band until 2001, and I did shows with them all the way up until 2012, and broke off again, and then I ended up getting some of the original members back in the band, and we trademarked the name. As of last year, we actually did a trademark on the Dazz Band name. So,
oh wow,
this is where we're at. Yeah.
Do I understand? Is this part of it? Because currently, you have a hit single which you reproduced. It's been such a long time. Is that one of them?
Yes, Been Such a Long Time was the original song and the title album on the New Birth album in 1973. which was Wildflower was on that same album. And so I redid the record, Been Such a Long Time. It's now on the Dazz album.
My goodness. You know, it blows my mind about you. I mean, here I am talking to you on the phone. I am talking to actually a legend. I mean, because of all of the greats and because of your performance and with all the band, the music has changed over the years just a little bit. What do you think about, you know, first of all, you know, there's a lot of the shows like American Idol and such, but you actually had your own idols, I would imagine, that mentored you. And as I mentioned in the early beginning of the show, we're talking about the late James Brown, Marvin Gaye, I mean, Isaac Hayes. How was that experience like for you? Can you just, like, share with each one of those legendary artists and singers what it was like to be mentored by them?
Marvin Gaye was my best friend.
Wow.
And I worked with Marvin on quite a few things. At the time, I was also dating his sister, his younger sister.
Viola?
Her name is Viola, yes. We were
yes, she was on my show. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Oh, wow. She's a sweetheart.
Yeah, So we dated for a little while, but I was singing with Marvin the last time I was with him before his death was the night before his death. Actually, we were preparing for the Sexual Healing Tour.
Mm.
And then I got the news early the next morning that Marvin was killed. But very much. But my times around him and with him were phenomenal. Just to watch him in the studio recording, I learned how to do my background vocals for Marvin.
Wow.
So it was just an experience in itself. And then Isaac Hayes was another individual that I had the opportunity of touring with and working with on different shows. And then we were friends as well. So we spent a lot of time on the telephone talking when he wasn't in Los Angeles. And needless to say, James Brown. Mr. Brown.
They have a dance one.
Yeah, Mr. Brown, we still call him Mr. Brown, you know, because
yeah.
The title itself was well deserved. And JB was an entertainer's entertainer, you know. One of the other individuals that was strongly on James's heels was Jackie Wilson. So
yep.
And a lot of people don't know about, you know, the real performers like Jackie Wilson, Joe Tex, you know, different people of that type in the entertainment business that were very powerful performers, you know.
Right.
I don't think they searched the history of R&B, really.
But you had a personal background on that from, you know, what were the greatest points, what were some of the things that he shared with you, you know, that you'll always relish. What's the biggest thing that stands out in your mind that he taught you?
James Brown, Marvin Gaye, which one?
For James Brown.
James Brown was, his thing was, you never give up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? James, with James's background, he was very persistent in becoming who he is, and he had to prove that he was worthy of not only the name but the position of being who he became in the music industry.
And that was
Godfather.
The time?
Beg your pardon?
I would imagine because in the 60s and such with the racial divide and such, especially for a lot of artists who were coming up.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
That was a major part of it, because during those times, we had a lot to prove, which, I mean, it's still the same, because the music industry really hasn't changed a lot. The racism still exists.
Right.
Some of the same people who are, if they're not in full control of the industry. They are, their children are. And so their mm-hmm. children have taken on the traits, the ones that are in the positions to call shots. They have taken on the traits of their fathers and uncles and that kind of those kind of individuals, and they still do the same thing. They still rip off the artists. They still lie to you. They will definitely cheat you mm-hmm. if you don't know contractual business, you know,
yes.
and you cannot afford to use their lawyers because they all work together. So, I mean, you know, it's a lot of things that's going on, and it's very heartening to have to deal with this kind of stuff, even in today's industry where they're not talented, because there are not a lot of people that have talent in this industry today.
Right, right. And that's because, let's face it, you hear a lot of, you know, when it comes to some artists, they will rely on the technology to carry them over so they can just do a little bit of ooh and ah. And that's not a real show, especially from 11 legendary artists as yourself, performing with greats like the Jacksons. And also you performed with a mutual friend of ours who I just came out of Rhode Island seeing perform, Evelyn Champagne King, who's going to be releasing her new music video this in New York this weekend. So how is it working with Miss Evelyn Champagne King? Because let me tell you, she shaked me down. Because I'm very honored to say that I'm going to be in her new music video, Dance All Night, that her baby brother Johnny King wrote. But, whew, she still can dance.
Evelyn
uh-huh.
comes from Philadelphia as well.
Yes.
Actually, I knew Evelyn when she was 14 years old. They used to call her Bubbles.
Yes, and, they still do.
Her album was produced by a friend of mine who's a songwriter who was with Philly International as well. His name is T Life.
Right.
And I remember when Evelyn worked with her mother and father as the custodians in the recording studio out of Philly International Records.
Yep.
And she could sing back then. And so T Life decided to write a couple of songs on her, and Shame was the first one.
That's right. That's matter of fact, you know, I'll tell you, I'll share something, Jerry, and it's so funny because I posted up when I was in New York doing the rehearsals with her and the Tramps and such, and with her brother. It was just impromptu. She was singing, and Antoine and also Rennie, who were also part of the group of the Tramps, they were all just singing, and I ran tape. She's like, you might want to catch this, and I'll tell you, it's amazing to be in that essence. So I can imagine people feel the same thing when they're with you. It must be mind-blowing for friends, people who know you and love you, but even people for the first time to hear you. They must be like, wow, you're a part of history, Jerry. You're absolutely a part of history. Does that ever sink in at any point in time about yourself?
Not really. I mean, I look at this whole thing as I do what I'm supposed to do, what I've been commissioned to do. And I don't really take it in the perspective of being a historical individual. I mean, when people mention it, you know, I give it thought, but I don't mm-hmm. verbalize it myself to anyone. I know the things that I've done and that I've accomplished. But I ride with the wind, you know, and I look for the opportunities to continue to do what I do best.
And those opportunities were afforded to you, as I understand, your own immediate family has a great musical background, starting with your mother, Maddie Bell.
Right.
Is that correct? Mm-hmm.
That
must have been, what was that like in the Bell home, having all of this immediate family musically inclined and just playing off of each other? That must have been something.
Well, I mean, you know, as it happens in the southern part of the country, you're always hearing the gospel end of the music, and my mom was, you know, pretty heavy in the gospel thing back in the day. Mm. But we were not limited to what we did musically. We were from gospel to jazz, gospel, jazz, R&B. Those were the things. there was not even, you know, back in the 60s and 70s, you didn't hear anything of about a pop music. It was
right.
jazz, blues, R&B, and gospel. That's where it was at, you know. And it wasn't until the early 80s when they started coming in with, okay, we're calling this section pop, because you had numerous amounts of Caucasians that were doing some R&B stuff, and so they made a flavor for that position because they didn't want to put them into the R&B factor, and at that time it was very difficult for them to even be able to try to compete, because it was so many different artists that was just off the Richter scale, like Gladys Knight, Aretha Franklin. You know, you had James Brown, Jackie Wilson, Joe Tex, Earth, Wind, and Fire, Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes, the Delphonics, the Manhattans, Black Ivory, Blue Magic, Major Harris, the Three Degrees, the Jones Girls, the Emotions, Isaac Hayes, the Parquets, I mean, the list, and Stevie Wonder, the Supremes, Diana Ross, the list just goes on and on and on, the Temptations, so Smokey Robinson, you know, so
yes, it
was just a slew of people, and on top of that, everybody had their own distinctive sound. No one sound alike. Like all this stuff, I don't call it music, I call it stuff, that is being put out there now, there everyone sounds the same. There's nothing different. Everybody's doing the same, they're doing the same runs, all over the place. You know, they like to have track shoes on. So
I laugh because my father would say, why can't someone just sing a song instead of doing all this different stuff and everything? He was from old school. But I have to give props to you, because when I say part of history, and because we look to you of how it's really done, and as you said, the new jazz band, which you're a part of, which you said, now you're under the new leadership, which I understand, of Michael Calhoun. You've gained a place in the inductees of the R&B Hall of Fame, and that happened in 2013, and you were even honored by the U.S. Postal Service with the issue of a commemorative stamp in 2013.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, that's awesome. That's history. Jerry, come on. That's awesome.
We got our stamp the same time Earth, Wind, and Fire got theirs, the week after they got theirs.
Wow. You're very humble. I can't even imagine at that level of that stature and with everybody you perform with, but you are let's face it, the new jazz band. The name may be new, but you all have old school music and styles that actually is where it all began, correct?
Correct. Well, you know, to set the record straight, you know, we, like I said, we ended up getting the trademark. The group had split up, and there was another faction. There's another faction, actually, that's running around utilizing the name. And we had been going through a trademark battle, but the trademark and patent company gave us the trademark to myself and Michael Calhoun. And one of the other original members, his name was Ed Myers. If you know any of the history on the Daz band name started out as the Kinsmen Daz. And the band was from Cleveland, Ohio. The group was founded by Ike and Michael Wiley, the Wiley brothers, who were one was the bass player and one was the drummer of the group, and along with Michael Calhoun, and then everybody else was brought in later on. So the other factions that came into the group, one individual who was the oldest member of the group at that time, his name was Bobby Harris. He was coming in as the spokesman of the group and ended up telling people that he was the leader and to make deals happen. And And one thing led to another from that point. He ended up, the group just, they got the group name changed from Kinsman Daz to Daz Band, which was still the same, but just added a little bit of newer members on to that name. And one thing led to another under that leadership. We ended up having two deaths in the band. One was the bass player who ended up committing suicide, and then we had another another member, a younger member named Terry Stanton, who was murdered in 2006. He was murdered under that leadership.
Wow. I'm so sorry for those. It's the first time, you know, with me speaking with you, and obviously I'm sure it changes when you hear about that in the band. That's never easy, especially when you form. They become like a family. But, you know, the band is moving on to bigger and brighter things. And I did want to say, because I know time's running out a little bit, which I find interesting, because the reason I wanted to bring this Jerry into it as well, because with the rich music and the inductee of the Hall of Fame and all of that rich history, you also, there's something else that people may or may not know about you, but I think is an extraordinary fun fact. But you have a martial arts background, and something that peeked out to me, and the reason I'm bringing this out, is because you also were studying boxing under another family member, Muhammad Ali. Is that correct?
Yes.
You know why I asked you that? Because his ex-wife, who is a wonderful woman, I'm sure you met Khalilah Camacho Ali.
Khalilah is my sister.
Well, okay, now this just opened up. Did you know that I had her on my show before? I had her on last year, and she's coming on in August. Oh, my goodness.
No,
the degrees of separation.
Yeah. I just talked to KT, as a matter of fact, a couple of days ago. We're doing she's doing her book, and I'm actually assisting her with the book that she's putting together.
Sure. I didn't even know that you were related to her. Oh, my God. That,
yeah.
Wait till I call her. I'm going to go, Khalilah, guess who I was talking to tonight? Perfect. She is such a love. She adopted me, you know, so I guess you and I are related. Did you know that? I'm telling you right now. She was like, Gail, I am adopting you. And who wouldn't want her for a mom? She is just the sweetest thing. So is she the oldest one out of you all as far as in the family?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Don't think I'm not going to text your sister, you know. Now she's really going to listen. That's amazing. Oh, so what did her ex-husband, Muhammad, teach you?
You know, being around Ali in the camp a lot, you know, I had an opportunity to watch his boxing method, which helped me with my art system, my martial arts, because of movements. And I had extensive training in martial arts in Japan because I lived there for many years. But off and on, I was doing like 6 months in Japan and then 6 months back in the States. So I would go back and forth like that. And I trained under a lot of great teachers. And it helped me to separate the Japanese system of combat into the more modern system of having to deal in combat in the streets here in America. So the boxing method added into what I was doing with the martial arts worked out very well. And then plus, you know, Ali was a comedian, but when he was alone, you know, when family wise, he was, you know, he was funny. We had a good time. It was a good time.
Well, it was great hearing your sister Khalilah talking about how they met, and she just kept them all in line. I mean, she is so amazing. And I was like, oh, you go, girl. And with her motivational speaking, so you know, sometimes even the host can be surprised in her own show. So color me surprised. Did not know that. That is amazing. Oh, my goodness. Well, of course, now with the martial arts in the background and now getting that in and tying up the family tree and get connecting all the dots. So we're moving forward. We're talking about the new group. And, of course, what are some things on tap that we're going to see out of the newer version and form of the group that you have on tap for the band?
Well, you just missed us. Are you located in Los Angeles?
We are located in Los Angeles, yes. Mm-hmm.
You just missed us because this past April we were at the Wilton Theater. We headlined along with Larry Dunn from Earth, Wind & Fire with the Larry Dunn Orchestra and the Emotions. And our show basically consists of a 14-piece band along with a go-go dancer. My band members, outside of the original Calhoun and Ed Myers, part of the horn section, one of my horn players, Calvin Bennett, was the one of the sax players for Isaac Hayes. And our musical director, his name is Earl Juicy Johnson, was also a musical director for Eric Benet and for Luther Vandross. Two of the horn players that are with the band, they were horn players also in the Tower of Power horn section. And my drummer, they call him LD. He played drums for some of everybody, including Michael Jackson. I have two female background vocalists, and the female background vocalists have sang for everyone, including Whitney.
Oh my goodness!
We have a go-go dancer, and I can't even begin to tell you about her energy on stage. She's just, you know.
Well, that's why they call her Go-Go. That's why they get their name, the Go-Go. They got to keep on going. My goodness. Well, you know, there was two interesting things because I really, you've been with history, especially, as I said, you were performing with the Jackson 5, and you spoke about Whitney Houston, and especially where you had performed with the Jacksons and such, and then the terrible loss of Michael and then of Whitney Houston, what was that like for you, and where were you when you got the news about each of their passings?
Well, actually, Whitney, I was in here. I was in L.A. for both situations. Michael, the last conversations I had with Mike was along with Michael and myself and Eddie Griffin. Michael, when he was going through his turmoil, he used to call me and Eddie about 3-4 o'clock in the morning and ask us to meet him. And he would come dressed up, hiding, you know, but we would meet him at Norm's restaurant on La Cienega. And we were sitting down and discussing many things along with writing the script. Eddie and Michael were writing a script called Toy Man. And Toy Man was about Eddie was hiring a kid to come work in the store of toys, and Michael, being a lover of toys, he wanted to work in the store. So so Eddie Griffin hired him. So when he hired him, he was playing around with a toy soldier, and it pricked his finger, and he turned into a toy soldier. When he turned into that toy soldier, Eddie Griffin turned into an evil wizard, and then it was a battle between good and evil with them, and that's Toy Man. That was the story that
we were making. I have never heard that. Wow.
Yeah, so we were working on that treatment, and unfortunately, it never did come to fruition. But
And you could still picture it from you describing that. Yeah.
Oh, and prior to that, you know, just knowing the whole family, all the brothers, we used to have a softball team together. We played out at Balboa Park back in the 70s, which was called the Jacksons softball team. And we would play against everybody from the Temptations to all the radio stations. And, you know, it was A lot of history.
My goodness.
A lot of history. Yep.
That's
a lot of history.
I could just picture that story coming to fruition about Michael Jackson, because he has that inner child, and you've always heard that described about him.
Yes.
And that's just so sad, because I'm sure that that would have been an amazing movie to see. And, you know, I couldn't even imagine what you were going through, much less with the family, even though we're watching it. But, you know, the world's watching it, you know, now being played out and the funeral and everything. Were you able to attend the funeral at the time?
No, I did not go to what they did at the forum.
Yeah.
There were other procedures that took place that, you know, I was a part of, but not at the forum.
Sure, sure.
The thing that you know, while I'm on the radio, I want to express is when the world lost Michael, they lost a great, great field of hope and music.
Yeah.
Michael Jackson was very special. Beyond the music, spiritually, he was very special, and a lot of people tried to interpret him to being something different, you know, like calling him a freak of nature and all kinds of things of this sort. But I tell people, if they look in the mirror at themselves, they might see that freak of nature within inside of their own self.
Talk about it.
Because everybody has it, you know, and no one is free from being able to make criticisms about another individual. The problem that existed with Michael was Michael put fear in those who did not have the power that he had.
Yes.
Which is in the industry and the powers that be. Because Michael, there are two names that you could go anywhere in the world, even in the darkest parts of the jungle, and those two names will be known in the history of life. And that is Muhammad Ali and Michael Jackson.
And, you know, I want to echo something. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say anywhere on the planet. I'm telling you, I mean, the deepest parts of the jungle. If you go into the Belgium Congo, Michael Jackson and Muhammad Ali are the names that they know more than anybody on the planet.
You know, Jerry, you hit something on the head. And I can say this from a third party view, if you will. I've never spoken to any of the Jacksons. I don't know any of them personally. I've only talked to people who have either worked with them or, you know, in some way or form. But here is my take. When people say a freak of nature, I think you hit it on the head, because they couldn't understand how he was able to perform the way that he performed. It wasn't like, let's remember when he came out with the moonwalk? And everybody was trying, breaking their neck, myself included, to perform that same move. And there are some people who can emulate Michael, some people very close, but I think you hit it on the head. And freak of nature to me means that you're having such difficulty to emulate such things that you don't understand, that's what you have, that's all you get to come up with. Does that make sense?
It does a lot. But, you know, the other portion to that is, the thing about a Michael Jackson or a James Brown or anyone, a Marvin Gaye, anybody on those levels, a Stevie Wonder, if you are not spiritually connected, not religiously, but spiritually, if you are not spiritually connected to the universe, you will never reach that plateau no matter what you do. No matter what you do.
I think they proved that. I think they proved that, and especially with Muhammad Ali, you know, people could say that was arrogance or whatever, but there's a sense of he knew himself. He was in tune with himself, and he wasn't going to let people walk over him, change him. He came in with a purpose, and just like most of these stars do. And, you know, I know as I was talking about not only with Michael Jackson, but as you said, you were working with someone who, with Whitney Houston, and that's another great loss on the music industry.
You know, let me say this to you about Muhammad Ali.
Yeah.
Howard Cosell had made a comment and called Muhammad Ali, he said, "You're very truculent." And Ali said, whatever that means, that's what I am. And in essence, Ali was at a challenge in his life, because Ali came out of Louisville, Kentucky,
mm-hmm.
not too long from the time when they were still lynching.
Yes.
And racism was very, very high. And so when he came up out of there, he had to come up with a certain persona that would set him aside from anybody else. And Ali was not going to accept being less than the greatest, which when you put your mind at that perspective, then that's what you will be, whether an individual wants to call you arrogant or whatever, but the proof mm-hmm. is in the pudding.
Right.
And then you have to walk a mile in an individual's footsteps in their
yes.
shoes in order to
yes.
be able to say anything about whatever it is that they're doing in their life.
Well, you know something, Jerry, and this is another great point, because it's easy for us on the outside who admire and, you know, want to aspire to be, but unless you're in that lifestyle, no one really appreciates what it's like. People have tried to get to that point, you know, trying to rise to that level, and some drop off, as you know, because they can only make it so much, they're a one-hit wonder or whatever. But I think that the difference, there is a difference, because the lifestyle is different, the mentality is different, because you have to keep going, because there's such a demand of performance, and God forbid if you don't rise to that occasion, that's going to be the pressure of it all.
Well, I mean, not only that, it's like, you know, going through, it's not, see, people think it's because of a talented individual with musical ability. And it has nothing to do with that.
Our talented individual
with boxing skills, our martial arts, it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with, if you lived at the bottom of your life, the mm-hmm. only place you can go is up. And you have to go up fighting everything that is in your way. Everything that's in the past, you have the obstacles that you have to cross over. And once you cross those obstacles, there's no looking back.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And that's just the bottom line of it. You know what I mean? And that within itself is a spiritual movement, because now you're not looking at religion, but you're moving from the spiritual movement, from the ancestors that were here before you that give you this energy to push forward.
I know, Jerry, that you are, as you mentioned earlier, going to be working with your sister, Kalila, on a book, and I know she's probably going to mention that on my show when she comes on. But with everything that you have been blessed with as far as experience with the legendary artists and such, how on earth do you get them all to become words on paper that people can actually, when they read, they actually feel they're going through this with you? Is that a hard thing to do? And is that something you would do? Would you write your own book? Yes.
I mean, everybody has asked me and told me that I should write a book. I don't have the patience to sit. You know, I mean, I've said that what I would do is I would sit in front of a camera, questions, and I'll talk about my life. But sitting down and writing, I don't even have the time, let alone the patience. I'm on so many different projects. Plus, you know, I got kids, and my youngest is just turned 8. So today I just came from the movies with him watching what's the movie?
It's Jurassic Park. No,
the one with the little yellow one-eyed minions.
Oh, the minions.
Yeah.
You could be a child at that time. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Aww.
Yeah, you know, so I have to do the daddy thing, and then plus he's also studying martial arts. So,
you want to say a shout out, happy birthday to him?
Oh no, I mean he didn't just turn eight, but he turned 8 in March.
Oh,
well,
happy birthday!
I've been with him on that, and then I have twin boys, and then my twins. They are basketball geniuses, so I deal with them and trying to keep them. They will be 19 in September, So I'm on them about the discipline and staying out of trouble, and you know what I mean? So I got my hands full. And I have an older son, I got grandkids, you know. So,
well,
you know, I mean,
let me tell you this. Let me introduce this to you. It had someone had to slow down to teach you what you know, right? So there may be a point in time. I'm not saying today, but there could be a point in time, Jerry, where you know the kids are grown, they're married, you're sitting on the porch, and all of a sudden it's all coming to you, going, "Man, I got some good stuff rolling in my head, and someone needs to hear about this. It could change a life." That's all I'm saying. Your sister would say that to you.
I won't. She'll say that I need to sit down because you know I won't sit on the porch. I'll be moving and grooving.
I know I'm stretching it. This man isn't going to be sitting on a porch, but I'm like, maybe he would work with me. But, you know, but still, this is, and the memoir that your kids would be able to carry on the legacy, because you know something? There's only one person who can talk about your life better than anybody, which is you. And man, would that be a fascinating story in a hard book or online, and someone saying, "Wow, I wonder," you know, down the road. I always say, you know, music industry is going to change. We always look back, though. You're the journey that we would lead back to.
Let me say this to you. If I were to write a book, book about my life, the majority of what I would write, people would not believe it. They would think it was fiction because I've done so many things in such a short time in my life, and I've had a ton of adventures. I've had a lot of different experiences, you know, good, bad, and the ugly. And a lot of people would try to figure out, well, how did he do this and how did he do that? And I've crammed a lot into a short time. Not saying that I'm a youngster, but...
you can do the same in a book.
But, I'm in my 60s, and...
You're just a baby. Well, what I do know is this. Unfortunately, time is wrapping up, and we wanted to save time to play your song, Good Love, which we have on standby. But I did want to have you have the final say of where we can definitely go to check you out, websites, links. I know you're on Facebook. Be so kind to let us know the email listeners where we can check you out, Jerry.
Yes, you can get me on Facebook under Jerry Bell, D-A-Z-Z. You can reach me on www.dazband.net. You can also get me on, I have other sites up on Facebook under Jerry Bell. I have two martial arts sites. You can know what's going on with that, and then if anyone is interested in booking us, they can also call 310-288-2505, and they can get me through that as well.
Jerry Bell, you are the best, and I cannot wait to speak with your sister Talila about this. You are a pleasure. Thank you so much for what you have done in the music industry. As humble as you are, please visit the site. And I have a real treat for you right now. Is we're going to play Good Love. And I will see you all next Thursday, or talk to you next Thursday, on Entertainment Now with Gail Scott Key on Faces of Success, Blog Talk Radio. Have a great night, everybody.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
You know you're crazy. I just want to give you good love.
Like me, not like me,
every day.
When I'm in these streets missing you, I feel I have everything I need at home.
That's why I changed your last name, cause
ain't no other girl in this world for me. I'm ready to go steady, tell me what you think about that. A honeymoon under the moon, that's a faraway place. Lovely nights and lovely days. Oh girl, you know you're everything I need. Oh,
like fools, so baby, stop playing. I don't know what you're saying,
and I will be right there to give you some of this good love.
Don't
Don't worry about my love,
that ain't never gonna change.
Just stick to the rules and we gon' play this game. I give up all my
money
and everything I
own
just to give you some of this good love. Baby, won't you listen to me now? All the words that's coming out my mouth, ooh. Everything I do when I'm kissing you, ain't nobody gon' make it do what it do with me. See, I'm ready to go steady. Tell me what you think about that. A honeymoon under the moon out from far away. Play, yeah, yeah. Baby, all I need is you.
All I need to ever really go about you.
Plain to see that we both been acting like fools. So baby, stop playing.
I don't know what you're saying.
And I will be right there.
Love. Wanna give you,
wanna make it till the sun comes up. So baby, stop frontin', I got what you wanted. Ain't no other guy gon' do you like me.
All I need
is
that I really
wanted, hey, you. It's
plain
to see
the way we've all been acting like fools.
So baby, stop playin', I don't know what you're saying. And I will be right there.
I'm always gonna be right there.
Don't worry about my love,
gon' change.
Just stick to the rules and we gon' play this game.
I give up all my
money and everything I
own just to give you some of this good love.